Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Aqeedah class with myself, Abu Musa'ab. Now as you know, if you are an old member, that we are doing the kitab known as Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah, the book of Aqeedah written by Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah, which is, so to say, the most accepted book of Aqeedah throughout the entire Muslim world. There is no more famous book of Aqeedah that is accepted by all groups than this kitab, Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. And we have done quite a number of classes. In fact, we have done just about half of the entire book so far. But for those of you who have missed the previous classes, the classes have been recorded, and inshallah, you will find the lessons, all the recorded ones, on YouTube, on the Ummah Radio channel. You can find the link to it on Ummah Forum, and you can follow up on the previous classes. Any case, in our last class, we had just stopped on... Okay, if you are following up in the book itself, the download link for the kitab itself has been posted on ummah.com/forum. You'll see a thread in the Ummah Radio section called Monday Aqeedah and Hadith class. And in that thread, you'll find a download link to the kitab Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. And that is the particular print that we are using for this class here. Now, in that particular PDF, if you turn to page 9, that's where we are currently on. We had completed last time up until point number 53. So this class from today, inshallah, we start with point 54. And the point that the whole crux, so to say, of what our class tonight, inshallah, is about is something which comes up very often amongst people, and there are many deviant beliefs and deviant people spreading these sort of beliefs around today, making all sorts of claims and statements and things, because unfortunately we live in a modern age, the age of technology, where every Tom, Paul and Harry, he just gets himself a camera or a mic, and then he starts giving lectures and making statements and videos and things, and before you know it, people are considering this person to be a sheikh, spreading his videos, his audios, liking him on Facebook, following him on Twitter, and all these sort of things here. As a result, many deviant beliefs, which are spread by people without knowledge, it goes rife amongst the ummah. And then you have people who have studied the deen, but as a result of their, whether it's their political alignment, or whether it's some deviancy, following of shaitan, because there were people who were more knowledgeable and they ended up going off the path. We know the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, all the other deviant sects which had passed, they had knowledge, but their knowledge were not of any benefit to them. So just because a person has studied does not mean that he is safe from going astray. And we have seen this. How many of the scholars are termed as evil scholars, or as the common saying is today, scholars for dollars, because they have sold out the deen and just about everything of the sort. So any case, what the class here tonight, inshallah, is dealing with is the topic of takfir and all the similar surrounding things which are to do with the same topic. So like I say, if you are following from the book itself, then it is on page 9. And we're starting from point number 54. So then, without any delay, we can jump straight into it. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So number 54, he says, وَنُسَمِّي أَهْلَ قِبْلَتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ مَا دَامُوا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُعْتَرِفِينَ وَلَهُ بِكُلِّ مَا قَالَهُ وَأَخْبَرَ مُصَدِّقِينَ. He says, and we call all the people of our Qibla, everybody who believes in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and performs salah towards our Qibla, which is the Kaaba, and all these sort of things. We consider them and we name them, we term them as Muslimin, people who have submitted to Allah, and we term them as Mu'mineen, as believers. As he says, مَا دَامُوا بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam مُعْتَرِفِينَ. As long as they are accepting that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with. Now, just a bit, to digress just a little bit, this is here an indirect comment. Okay, it didn't exist back then, but it's an indirect statement which can be applied in today's times, where you find the people who call themselves the Quranists, or as we rather call them, the hadith rejectors, because they do not follow the Quran. Now you have these sort of people, they reject all that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with, under the guise that this is all unscientific, or whatever kufr excuses they come out with. Now if you take this belief of theirs, the rejection of a hadith, and you look at this statement of Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah, what he is basically saying, he say, we term the people as Muslimin and Mu'mineen as long as they are accepting that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. But on the flip side, if you read it back to front, what he says, for such people who do not accept that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with, we do not term them Muslimin, nor do we deem such people to be Mu'mineen. This is what Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah is saying. And in fact, this is a unanimous fatwa given by all the ulama, regardless of what group they may belong to. Some people may say, no, Salafis are harsh in their fatwa, or they takfiris, or all these sort of things, therefore they like to make takfir of people, but that's not the case. The Salafi ulama have made takfir on people who reject a hadith. The Diobandi ulama have made takfir on people who reject a hadith. The Barelvi ulama have made takfir on those who reject a hadith. All the ulama are unanimous that a person who rejects the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then such a person is a kafir. Not kufr duna kufr. Not kufr which is like a lesser form of kufr. No, it is kufr akbar. It is major kufr. It instantly puts a person outside the fold of Islam. And this is kufr on such a level that it falls into that category that the ulama say, man shakka fi kufrihi kafir, that whoever doubts the kufr of such a person, he himself also becomes a kafir. So it's a very serious issue when you have these sort of hadith rejectors nowadays who just reject the hadith because in their corrupt minds they feel that Einstein and Newton and newts and frogs and all these other sort of people, they are intellectuals, they are clever people, and what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said is incorrect. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So therefore they make these statements that the ahadith and things like this are unscientific and all other sort of kufr statements of the sort. So There are many excuses that all these people come out with, but none of it is accepted as a valid excuse in the Sharia. It is any of them who makes whatever reason it is for rejection of the ahadith, it puts them outside the fold of Islam. Anyway, to continue on, he says, we consider the Muslims, the people who follow the religion of Islam, who perform salah towards the Kaaba, we consider these people to be Muslimin and Mu'mineen as long as they accept that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with. وَلَهُ بِكُلِّ مَا قَالَهُ وَأَخْبَرَ مُصَدِّقِينَ. And not only that, but وَلَهُ بِكُلِّ مَا قَالَهُ وَأَخْبَرَ مُصَدِّقِينَ. And they have the firm belief and conviction in the words and all that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us about. Which is quite very similar to the previous statement as well, that accepting all that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent with. Now, this is similar, like I just say, people say, and you find this amongst people who claim to be defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against hadith rejectors. I just read it in a link today, which somebody had posted, which it gave me a distaste when I read this link, because this person who's writing this whole article, he feels he is some defender of Islam and he is defending Islam, while in fact he is insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Somehow in his mind he thinks he is defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they say that no, when it comes to matters like where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a fly falls into one of your drink, then dip him in and then drink thereafter, and other such ahadith, they come and they make the statement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have been wrong, it's not something which comes from Allah, and all the other such batil statements they come out with, or they come out, as the other one was saying, is that maybe these aren't exactly the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was one of the Sahaba who put it into his own words, or the Tabi'in put it into his words. وَنَعُوذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. All these people make all these sort of weird batil statements. So all of this year, ما داموا بما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معترفين وله بكل ما قاله وأخبر مصدقين. It is a very important and integral part of a person's deen that you follow and believe and accept everything which has come from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. And that is why we say that if science or the whole world together come and they say that what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said is contrary to science, then we say that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is correct and the whole world and all it contains is wrong. But now today people have the thing that they reject Allah, they reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the words of some najis kafir who come and say that no, human beings evolved from monkeys, and therefore the statements, the ayat of the Quran that speaks of Allah creating Adam alayhi salam and things like this, these are all metaphors and not physical. They take the words of a kafir over Allah. They make this kafir their ilah, their lord that they worship over Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in any case, that's just a bit of a digression. Coming back to the point of the kitab itself, that was point number 54. We now move on to point number 55. He says, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. He say, the first part he say, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ. We do not delve into Allah. What this means here, it's twofold. One, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ. We don't delve so into Allah that we start attributing Allah with things which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not used. So, like for example, tajseem. Allah has never said that He has a body. So now, it's not correct for anybody to say that Allah has a body. Even if you reject and negate the howness and say that Allah has a body but not like any of the creation or anything of the sort, this is still a batil statement. We do not accept it. So we do not delve in from that point. The second point is that we don't delve that how is Allah? Is Allah a shape, a form? Does Allah have a face and a hand? Is it sight? Is it, does Allah speak with words and sounds and does Allah see as we see? All these sort of things. We don't delve like that. That is why there is one narration which says, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. That ponder over the creation of Allah and do not ponder over Allah. Because our minds can understand and comprehend the creation which Allah has created. We can look at the sky and we can say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى. How massive, how great it is that Allah has raised the sky without any pillars and all the other creations which Allah has made. But our minds are unable to comprehend Allah. That is why it comes in a hadith that the way shaitan plays with a person's mind is that he tells you who created this and this and this until he asks you, he puts the thought in your mind that who created Allah. So all of this is when you think and you ponder and you delve too deeply with regards to Allah, the being, the actual being of Allah. When you delve into this, then this is something that we of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we do not do. This, when we say we don't delve into Allah, this does not refer to making abundant dhikr and remembrance of Allah. Not at all. This is not at all what it refers to. It refers to, like I say, when you start thinking, how is Allah? What is Allah? This sort of things. These are statements and beliefs and things that we do not ascribe to as Muslims. The second part of the sentence, it says, وَلَا نُمَارِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And we do not argue concerning the deen of Allah. This has been explained on numerous occasions. And this is, for example, which has become quite common today as well. Although other ulama, they give different interpretations that, for example, that debating with regards to the deen of Allah is where you, like, try to back up the batil viewpoints of a particular group or sect. Like, say, for example, the Khawarij or the Murji'ah or some other deviant group comes along with some deviant belief. Now, you argue with regards to the deen of Allah like this. Another interpretation that the ulama give is like how you find today every Tom, Paul and Harry, he reads one English translation of an ayah or a hadith and then he considers himself to be the next great allama, given a certificate by Mufti Google and allama Twitter. They have given him these certificates, so he feels he is right, it's totally in his right to start speaking on the deen, and then he takes one ayah of the Quran and puts it against another ayah of the Quran, and then he argues as though the Quran and the Ahadith contradict one another. And this is also what gives fuel to those deviants, or rather I should say those kuffar, who end up rejecting the Ahadith because they feel that this Hadith contradicts the Quran and all these sort of things here. We don't get involved in any of these things because the Ahadith do not contradict the Quran whatsoever. If there was any hadith which contradicted the Quran, you would most likely, in fact, you would most definitely find out that such a narration is a fabrication and there is no basis to it whatsoever. Because there is no authentic hadith which contradicts anything of the Quran. So in any case, what he's saying here, we do not debate with regards to the deen of Allah. We don't put one ayah against another and use the Quran as a tool or weapon to fight with. That was point number 55. Now we move on to number 56. He says, وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. First point he says, وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. We do not argue again also with regards to the Quran. You know, all this olden arguments of the Mu'tazila and these deviant groups where they said the Quran is created and is the words of the Quran created and all these sort of beliefs that they came up with. Is this Quran on earth created and the real Quran uncreated, the one which is in the Lawhi Mahfuz, the safeguarded tablet, all these sort of batil beliefs. We don't get involved in any of these things. We have no arguments with regards to the Quran. And he says, وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And we bear witness that this Qur'an, it is the speech of the Lord of the worlds. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. Which has been revealed and came down through the medium of رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ, which is Jibreel عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. فَعَلَّمَهُ سَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And Jibreel عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, he taught it to Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. سَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, the master of all the prophets, who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Quran is the speech of Allah, which Allah conveyed through Jibreel alayhi salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what he's saying here. And he says, وَهُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا يُسَاوِيهِ شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. This Quran, it is the speech of Allah ta'ala, and there is no speech of the creation which can be equal to it. So there is nobody who can come, and in fact this is another point. Like I said, the whole topic is regarding takfir, because many of these, in fact these beliefs, when you go contrary to it, you end up in kufr. So لا يساويه شيء من كلام المخلوقين, that there is no speech of any creation which is equal to it. So for example, you have people today, they get involved so deeply in stuff like music or poetry and things like this, that they make statements and they say that this poem or this song or things like this, it's like the Quran in its beauty, according to them. Now when you make this likeness, that it is like the Quran, then this is a statement of kufr, when you are putting some other speech on par with the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this then puts you outside the fold of Islam. So لا يساويه شيء من كلام المخلوقين, that no speech of the creation is equivalent or equal to the speech of Allah, which is the Quran. He then ends off the point. He says, ولا نقول بخلقه ولا نخالف جماعة المسلمين. He says, rather two points here quickly. He says, ولا نقول بخلقه. We do not behold the belief that the Quran is created, which was the belief of the Mu'tazila, that they said that the Quran is created, while we say the Quran is the uncreated word of Allah. That's why he say, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ. We do not hold this belief that the Quran is created. We believe that the Quran is the uncreated word of Allah, like how Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, Imam al-Mubajjal, he stood firm on this belief that the Quran is uncreated, despite all odds with the rulers of the time being Mu'tazila and punishing him and everything, in order to get him to hold the batil belief, but he stuck firm to it, and alhamdulillah, as a result, today we, our aqidah is safe, that we can also say that the Quran is the uncreated word of Allah. And the last point he says, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and we do not oppose or contradict the Jama'atul Muslimin, which means the Jama'atul Muslimin here is the consensus of the Ummah, the Ijma', that when the Ummah has Ijma' on something, then we follow the Ijma', and we don't turn away from Ijma'. That is why we say we have four sources of Sharia. Two are primary and two are secondary, because they are derived from the primary sources. The two primary is Quran and Sunnah. The two secondary is Ijma' and Qiyas. Ijma' and Qiyas are secondary sources because both of them are derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. You cannot say that these two are on par with the Quran and the Sunnah, because the Quran and Sunnah is the top level and these two are on a level beneath it that has been derived from the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So here, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, we do not oppose the ijma' which the ummah has come to. That is why the ulama have a statement, they say, مَنْ شَذَّ شَذَّ فِي النَّارِ, when they speak with regards to a person who turns away from ijma', they say that whoever turns away, شَذَّ from شُذُوذ, that you go away from this path, then شَذَّ فِي النَّارِ, you go astray and you end up in the fire of Jahannam. So, وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, we do not contradict and oppose the ijma', the consensus of the Muslim ummah. And this again, just one quick point. When we say the ijma', we don't refer to the ijma' of America and their allies, that because America and Obama and the West, they make some sort of ijma' that, for example, let's say Shia are Muslim and therefore now this is considered to be an ijma'. Not at all. Ijma' al-Sahaba, ijma' of the ulama, of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik rahimahumullah, this is who we talk about when we talk about ijma'. We don't apply it to the scholars of Elizabeth and the Marines. This is not who we refer to when we talk about ijma'. Now here we come to the main point which actually gave this class the topic of takfir. Point number 57. He says, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ. And this point here is the crux, and it is the nail in the coffin of those people, these modernists who today come along and say, you can't judge people, you don't know what's in their heart, how can you call another person a kafir, how can you say he commits shirk or kufr, or that he's out of the fold of Islam, and all these other sort of battle statements people come around with today. If you look at the statement of Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah, and this is not a statement of Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah. What he is saying here is the aqidah, the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is not his personal opinion that he is just putting out his individual opinion out here for the world to see. Not at all. He is putting that down, the opinion, or rather the belief of the entire Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So he says, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ. We do not declare anyone from the Ahlul Qibla, meaning from the Muslims, to be a kafir as a result of a sin, regardless whether major or minor sin, مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ, as long as he do not deem it to be permissible. The first part of the sentence here, لَا نُكَفِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ, this is actually a rejection of the Khawarij, because the Khawarij were a group who came about and said that when a person commits a major sin, he becomes a kafir. So if you drink wine, you become a kafir. If you commit zina, you become a kafir. All these sort of things, these major sins, if you do any of these things, you become a kafir. This was the belief of the Khawarij, which is not the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is why he mentions here, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ, that we do not make takfir of any believer due to a sin which he has committed. But now here is the main point. He puts it, مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلَّهُ, the exception to the rule. Meaning, when do we make takfir of a person who claims to be a believer? He says, if you were to translate it, put it in a different sentence, he says, إِذَا يَسْتَحِلَّهُ, when he makes a sin or deems a sin to be permissible, in that case we consider such a person to be a kafir and we declare him to be a kafir as such. And this is again, like I say, it's not kufr duna kufr. It's not kufr which does not put a person out of the fold of Islam, but rather this is kufr akbar, which instantly makes a person become a kafir. So here, for example, you have in today's times, again, all these people like these homosexual groups. You have this person who's known well on the internet as Da'i Abdullah. I'm certain many of you may have come across him, as he called himself, the first gay imam of America. He started conducting gay marriages and all these sort of things. Now, for example, a person like him, he makes the statement, and his statement has been echoed throughout the world by all these other kuffar as well. He made the statement that Islam does not prohibit homosexual acts. Now this, we know to take part in this homosexuality is a major sin, which Allah had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah as a result of this sin. And the method, in fact, if you look at the books of tafsir and the ulama explain that how Allah had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Allah had first rained down stones of fire from the sky upon them. In fact, it's mentioned in Tafsir ibn Kathir, if I'm not mistaken, that each stone which came down had the name of a person on, and as you can say, it was a homing missile. Not one person was saved. Each person who was there, who was a homosexual taking part in this evil, he was killed. And not only that, then Jibreel alayhi salam had picked the entire town up with the tip of his wing, raised it up to the sky, and smashed it down into the floor. And that point today is what is known as the Red Sea. And then, as the people say today, that the Red Sea is, so to say, the lowest point on earth. And it is a place of adab, it is a place of punishment and evil. And then you find Muslims who go along there to go and swim and float and all these sort of things in this place of dirt and adab, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned us to avoid going near such places. But such is the low level that the ummah has fallen today, that they find it as something nice and something interesting to go and lay around with the kuffar in places of adab like this. So this was this was the punishment and how Allah had destroyed the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you have people like this Sodomite who comes along and says that Islam permits it and there is nothing wrong from what Allah has said that prevents it. Now when a person makes a statement like this, this is making permissible something or which Allah had prohibited. It is making halal a haram, and this causes a person to become a kafir and puts a person outside the fold of Islam. And this is not only restricted to this point here, it applies to other sins as well. If a person comes along and he says that it's permissible that wine has not been prohibited, let's say you find a person, he says that no, what Allah prohibited was some other sort of wine that they made in those days, but this wine that we have here today, champagne and things like this, this is not what Allah prohibited. So therefore there's no harm. If a person makes a statement like this, he becomes a kafir, he goes outside the fold of Islam. And this applies now to all other sins as well, when a person makes halal something which Allah has made haram. So from this point here, this is, like I say, it is a rejection of those people who say that you cannot judge a person or claim that such and such a person is a kafir and all these sort of things, and say, like how people like to say, you can't judge me, Allah is the judge. Yes, Allah is the judge, and Allah has made us the Khalifatullahi fil ard, that Allah has made us as the vicegerents of Allah on earth, that we establish the law of Allah on earth. And Allah has said that when a person does something like this, then such a person goes outside the fold of Islam. And it is within our right as a Muslim that Allah has given us this right, that we declare such a person to be a kafir. So that was point number 57. We move now on to point number 58. He says, وَلَا نَقُولُ لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبٌ لِمَنْ عَمِلَهُ. He says, we do not say that a sin will not harm a person if he commits it, if he has iman. Now, The point number 57, which passed by, that we don't make takfir on a person as a result of a sin, this was a belief which came about of the Khawarij when they said that if you commit a major sin, you are a kafir. But now of point number 58, this was now a belief of another group, the group who were known as the Murji'ah. They came along and they said that as long as you have iman, then sins won't harm you. The total opposite end of the spectrum. One went to the one extreme, they went to the other extreme. So one made takfir if you committed a major sin, the other one said if you commit sins, it's like it doesn't matter, it won't harm you, you've got iman. So both groups are on falsehood, and therefore he comes to put the Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he puts down the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah, that we do not ascribe to the view of those who say that you become a kafir as a result of a sin, nor do we ascribe to the view of those who say that your sins will not harm you. We believe that if you commit a sin, you will be punished, unless if Allah decides to forgive you. But you will be punished if Allah does not forgive you, contrary to the belief of the Murji'ah. Now we come on to one more point, point number 59. He says, نرجو للمحسنين من المؤمنين أن يعفو عنهم ويدخلهم الجنة برحمته ولا نأمن عليهم ولا نشهد لهم بالجنة ونستغفر لمسيئهم ونخاف عليهم ولا نقنطهم. He says now, ونرجو للمحسنين من المؤمنين أن يعفو عنهم ويدخلهم الجنة برحمته. We hope for those people who do good, the believers, those who believe in Allah, from the believers, those who do good, we hope that Allah will forgive them and will enter them into Jannah as a result of His mercy. Now here is just one point before I continue on. We know that everyone will enter Jannah through the mercy of Allah and not through his own actions. You must do your actions as is taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the end of the day, everybody who enters Jannah will enter Jannah as a result of the mercy of Allah and not because, you know, I worshipped Allah for 10 years, for 20 years, all my life. This is not sufficient for you to enter into Jannah. If you enter into Jannah, it will only be through the mercy of Allah alone. So therefore, he say, we hope for the believers who do good that Allah will forgive them and will enter them into Jannah through His mercy. وَلَا نَأْمَنُ عَلَيْهِمْ. But we do not have any, as you can say, na'manu alayhim, that this certainty that definitely everybody is going to Jannah. We don't know the hearts of what is concealed in the hearts of anybody. We have the good thought about them that because he lived as a Muslim, as far as we see from the apparent, he was all good and everything. So we have the hope that Allah will enter them into Jannah. But we don't know what is really the case. As we know in the hadith which Imam Muslim rahimahullah reports, that on the day of Qiyamah a person will be brought in front of Allah and he had it, as far as the people were concerned, he was a shaheed, he was a martyr, and then Allah will question him and he will say that he was martyred in the path of Allah, and Allah will say, no, you did it for the sake of name and fame and things like that, and then Allah will have him cast into Jahannam. And the same with the other people who are mentioned in there as well, all those people whose intentions were insincere. So that, for that reason, we don't know and we cannot say with certainty that a person is definitely in Jannah. This is except in the cases where Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that so and so will be in Jannah. We know the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum are in Jannah. Allah says radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. So therefore, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum don't fall into the same category as the rest of the people. But as far as myself and yourself and the next person is concerned, we try our best, we live on iman, we die on iman, and we ask Allah that Allah raises us up on iman and enters us into Jannah. But we cannot say with certainty where our abode will be. As far as, like I say, our good thought is about every Muslim who dies that he will enter into Jannah. But it is not for us to say that this person who died, he is in Jannah. That much we cannot say. And therefore he says, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ. We do not bear witness we لا نؤمن عليهم we don't have certainty ولا نشهد لهم بالجنة nor do we bear witness that these people are definitely into Jannah. Obviously we don't know who goes to Jannah and who doesn't go to Jannah because we don't know the unseen, so therefore we can't make a claim about the unseen. But then he says ونستغفر that ونستغفر لمسيئهم ونخاف عليهم that we seek forgiveness for those people of the believers who commit sins. So we hope good for the believers who did good, and we seek forgiveness for those Muslims who committed sins, and we fear for them. وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ, which tells you what? That we fear that such people will go to Jahannam as a result of their sins. But we don't lose hope with regards to them. Like Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, that oh يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا, oh my servants who have transgressed upon your souls, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So we don't lose hope in Allah's mercy, but we have this fear that we fear these people are going to Jahannam. If you live on sin, you die on sin without tawbah, then without repenting, then as far as we are judging by the apparent, we fear that such a person will end up in Jahannam if Allah does not forgive them. But we don't lose hope. We have the hope that inshallah Allah will forgive such people and enter them also into Jannah. That was the end of page 9. And it just the line ended on the top of page 10. But I want to mention another point on this here itself, and inshallah we will end on here on this point, which is the point that now today you have all these people, also again these two for a penny people who pop out nowadays, everybody thinking himself to be the next Allama, and he's bringing out YouTube videos and saying that Mandela is in Jannah, and Paul Walker is in Jannah, and Mother Teresa is in Jannah, and all these sort of things here are statements which are made out of pure ignorance, which no person has the right to make such a statement in the first place. When it comes to all these sort of things, we judge by what is apparent. We know the famous hadith about the one Sahabi where he killed a man, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Al shaqaqta sadra?" Did you cut open his heart to see what was inside it that you killed him and said that he was for you to have killed him, and said that he only said the shahada to protect himself? If we turn this hadith around and we put it in other words, then what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying is, why did you not judge by what was apparent that he had apparently said the shahada? So why did you not stop there by just simply judging by the apparent? So, and we know the statement of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu that as for us now today, we judge by what is apparent. So this is something which is quite clear. When all these things which are apparent, it is only by that that we judge. We don't know the inner workings of the heart, and that we leave all to Allah. But now when it comes to a person, again like I said, from an apparent perspective, a person live a pious life, he dies, lives on piety, he dies on piety, we have good thought that inshallah this person will be in Jannah. Another person, he is a sinner, he lives on sin, he dies on sin, we fear such a person will be in Jahannam. But we don't lose hope because we know as long as he has iman in his heart, Allah will, there is a possibility Allah may even forgive him without entering him into Jahannam whatsoever. But now here's the point that I came to, is all of this about Mandela and Mother Teresa and Paul Walker and every other next kafir that people come out with and say that you can't say these people are in Jahannam. It is our belief as well that we don't say with specifics who is in Jahannam and who is in Jannah. And this is especially true while people are alive. We can't say right now that Obama is in Jahannam because Obama is still alive. If Allah wishes, tomorrow Allah can turn his heart and he could accept Islam and become the greatest Muslim. Nothing is impossible for Allah. So therefore we don't make judgments while people are alive. But when a person is a kafir, he lived on kufr, he died on kufr, then such a person is a kafir, and we say that such a person will end up in Jahannam. Because this is the promise that Allah has said, that those who die on disbelief, on kufr, then their abode will be في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا. The abode will be the fire of Jahannam forever and ever and all eternity. So for people to come along and say that Mandela is in Jannah, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, with what knowledge are they making such a claim? Mandela lived as a kafir. There was never a point in Mandela's life wherever he had made any inclination to Islam that he believes in Allah or that he accepts Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not to say that ulama and Muslims had not spoken to him about Islam. In fact, after Mandela had died, one of the Arab shuyukh had still mentioned that he had written a letter to Mandela about accepting Islam and everything. But Mandela did not accept it. He read the letter and all, but he did not accept the invitation to Islam. So he lived as a kafir. As far as is apparent, he died as a kafir. He was living a kafir, he died a kafir, his abode is Jahannam. Mother Teresa, same thing there. The days of being a Jew or a Christian and going to Jannah has long passed. By the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever that did not accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instantly became from the people who of Jahannam. Before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person called himself a Christian or a Jew and he believed in Allah alone without committing shirk and things like this, and he died like that, then Allah would enter such a person into Jannah, if his belief was correct. But after the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah made it a prerequisite to enter into Jannah that a person must accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anybody who does not accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then such a person becomes a kafir. And the door, as you can say, you may put it this way, that there were many doors to Jannah. A person could say he was following Isa alayhi salam and go to Jannah before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or a person may say that he was following Musa alayhi salam and he could go to Jannah. Or a person may say that he was following Ibrahim alayhi salam, Dinul Hanif, and he would go to Jannah. He was a muwahid. That was all possible before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But after the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah closed all those doors and left one door only open, the door through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore Allah revealed the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell the people, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if indeed you claim to love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, as a result Allah will love you and Allah will forgive you of your sins. So this door, the only one way now left to go into Jannah is through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there are various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no Jew or Christian hears about me and does not accept me except that he will enter into Jahannam. Or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in another hadith that if Musa alayhi salam was alive today, he would also have no choice but to follow me. And this is not restricted to Musa alayhi salam. It would apply to any other Nabi as well. If any other Nabi were to be alive in the same time, they would have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all previous shari'as were abrogated by the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, Mother Teresa and all these people, if they do good in this life, Allah rewards them in this life. But when they come in the Akhirah, the a'mal will be haba and manthura, like scattered dust. Allah gives them the reward in this world, and in the year after there is nothing for them. These people, if they die on kufr, they will be in the fire of Jahannam, and it is not permissible for any Muslim to make a statement and say that Paul Walker, just because they liked him in whatever movie he played in, that now suddenly he must end up in Jannah, so that he can be riding. Like one person actually made the statement and said that Paul Walker is riding fast cars around in Jannah. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. These sort of irresponsible, outrageous statements people came out with, all of the result of a sickness in their hearts, that because they are corrupt, they want to corrupt the deen of Allah as well. So in conclusion, what I'm saying here is that what Imam At-Tahabi rahimahullah is putting down as the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah, that when a person lives a pious life as a believer, as a Muslim, then we have hope that Allah will enter him into Jannah. When a believer, a Muslim, lives a life of a sinner without repenting, then we fear such a person will be going to Jahannam, but we have hope that Allah may still forgive him and enter him into Jannah. Because even if he does go into Jahannam for a while, he will eventually be taken out and go enter into Jannah in any case. But for a person who lives on kufr and dies on kufr, then such a person has no way ever of entering into Jannah. Their abode is sealed for Jahannam. They have a one-way ticket straight to Jahannam, and there is no return, no refunds, no way of getting out. It's straight down in, and if you pass the beginning, you're not going to collect no money, nothing of the sort. You're just going straight to Jahannam, and that's how it will be. And this is, Allah has said it time and again in the Quran, warned everybody, the people, to believe in Allah, to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anybody who has read the Quran, this will come as no surprise to you. But unfortunately, as a result of all these people popping around nowadays who spread their batil, and then they make statements which are in clear contradiction to the Quran and the Sunnah, which contradict clear cut ayat of the Quran, and then the layman in the street who has never read the Quran, who does not know what Allah speaks about in the Quran, they have the wool pulled over their eyes, and they end up believing that what these people are saying is correct. But like I say, the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is clear, and whatever people come along with nowadays which contradicts the aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah, then all these beliefs, we kick it to the curb and we follow that which the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah has brought about and has codified for us more than 1,000 years ago, which was the belief of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and the Muslims throughout the ages. So on that point, inshallah, we will end here on page number 10, and next, in our next Aqeedah class, we will start from point 60 onwards. So until then, we will end for now, and we say, وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.